Well, we've been talking on love, and this is, I think, number 3 on the subject. And we started off from 1 Corinthians 13:13. And there in that great chapter, chapter 13, dearly loved chapter by many, and that last verse says, "Now abideth faith, hope, love. These three. But the greatest of these is love." The greatest of these is love. And God wants, I believe, all these three, faith, hope, and love. Faith, God wants, as we've just been hearing, to believe God. Nothing's too hard for him. He wants our faith to grow and to increase. We need faith. Without faith, we cannot please the Lord. We live by faith. Paul says, "I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." But God wants us also to grow in hope, that our hope would be strong, that we would have a confident expectation of good towards the future. Our hope is strong. The Bible says our hope is like an anchor. It's a strength to us. And we want our hope to grow and to increase. But love is the greatest. Agape love is the greatest. And praise the Lord, you know, in many, many of your lives. I mean, I sense, you know, the love of God. And there's demonstrations of the love of God. But in all of us, no matter how high we've reached, there's always to go higher, to increase in the love of God. And, you know, love is the greatest. Love is the thing that we should major on the most, because that is the greatest. And that is the greatest. And in the last days, we know there's going to be great revival and outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But also, it's important to understand, even though there will be great harvest, a tremendous harvest beyond our comprehension. But Jesus also said, when he was talking about the second coming, he says in Matthew 24, and he said, "The love of many will wax cold," or "the love of many will grow cold." It'll grow cold, that love that they had. They're going to lose their love for the Lord. And, you know, if we lose love, you lose everything. And because God is love. That is his nature. That's what he's like. And he wants to change us to become like him. So he wants his agape love to be developed, to be worked out in each one of our lives. And it's true. In the last days, the love of many, Jesus said, will grow cold. And so really you're at a level, and that love, the love of God in you, it can go down, it can decrease, it can diminish. And that's what happened, or it can increase, which we want. That's what happened to the church at Ephesus. It was a strong New Testament church. And it started off, they loved God, they had a vibrancy with the Lord, they loved to be in the presence of God, they loved God with all their heart, they loved one another. And they had many good things. They were full of good works. They were reaching out. The people who came in with wrong doctrine, they knew what was right. They knew what was wrong. There was a great teaching ministry there. But over time, it seems that they lost their love for the Lord. And Jesus had to rebuke them. He had to rebuke them strongly. And he said, repent. They'd left their first love. And Jesus had to repent. He had to rebuke them so strongly. We don't want to be like that church in Ephesus. We want our church, Mount Zion Church, we want it to increase in love, to abound in love, to grow in love. And that with all our heart, that we would love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our being. And that we would love our neighbor as ourselves. And those two commandments, everything in the Old Testament hangs on those two. And basically Jesus said, right in the just a few days before the cross. A new commandment, John 13, 34, 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you love one another. And then Jesus said, by this shall all men know you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Love, as Paul says, is the greatest. Agape love, a sacrificial love, an unselfish love, a love that gives and gives, even if it doesn't receive back in return. And I want to look this morning, we're going to look at four verses from 1 Corinthians 13 and verses 4 to 7. And in those verses, we're going to see 15 qualities of agape love. 15 qualities of agape love. Or in other words, what love is like. It's like a thermometer. You know, if you have a fever, they put a thermometer in. I can remember when we were kids, we grew up, and they put the thermometer under your tongue, and you'd hold it there for a while, and they'd pull it out, and then they'd read what your temperature is. And so there was a temperature depending how hot you were. And, you know, these verses is like our love thermometer. You know, is our love growing? Is it getting higher and higher, or is it decreasing? Or is it just staying the same? And this chapter, chapter 13, I mean, it's a marvelous chapter. I mean, all chapters in the Word of God are wonderful, but this chapter is special. And it's known as the love chapter. And it's one of the most beautiful and inspiring chapters in the whole of the Word of God. And, you know, love is supposed to be the hallmark of the church, the hallmark of Christianity. And in these verses, from verses 4 to 7, it says love is, and it says love is not. So some are saying what love is, and some on the positive, and some on the negative side are saying what love is not. Now, some of these, some are positive, some negative. Now, when we look at what love is not, it can help us get a better picture of what love, you know, really is, what love really is. And God has created us to have relationships. First and foremost with the Lord, loving God, but then with others, and to love one another. And love really is what makes relationships possible. Love binds people in relationships. But today we're seeing so much iniquity, evil increasing. Sin has affected many of relationships. And sin affects relationships with God and with others. And so many relationships, you know, they're not what they should be. So many, it's often distrust, pain, misunderstanding, fear, isolation. Today there's so much abuse, physical abuse, verbal abuse, emotional abuse, mental abuse, sexual abuse, everywhere. And fear has kept so many from truly loving God and also from having deep, satisfying relationships with one another. So let's look at these verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and beginning in verse 4. Well, in verse 3, I mean, Paul says, you know, I can do good works, I can have great faith, I can have, you know, be used mightily in prophecy. But if I don't have love, what does Paul say? I am nothing. Even though you have tremendous faith, even though you have a great prophetic ministry, even though you're full of charity and good works, without love? Paul says, you're nothing. It is nothing. And Paul says, though I bestow on all my goods to feed the poor, you give away everything you've got, and even give my body to be burned. But if I have not love, what does he say? It profits nothing. It profits nothing. It profits nothing. Now, verse 4, number 1, we're looking at these 15 qualities of love. Love is patient. The first one is love is patient. Love is patient. King James says it suffers long. It doesn't demonstrate irritation or reflect anger. It's willing to endure emotional discomfort and suffering. You know, patience is the ability to deal with a huge amount of distress without becoming angry and annoyed. Look at Job. You know, all that he went through. And we read in James 5:11, it speaks about, you know, the patience of Job. So love is patient, or love suffers long. Love suffers long. You know, difficult times, love suffers long. It is patient. It is patient. And the second point is in verse 4, love is kind. Charity is kind. Love is kind. And God wants his kindness, you know, in our lives. A kind heart goes the extra mile to show its love. Mother Teresa used to be in Calcutta. She's known throughout the world for her ministry of helping the poor. But she defined love as giving till it hurts. Kindness becomes a way to show, you know, how much another person means to us. And, you know, kindness, love is kind. God's love, it is kind to one another. Paul says, Ephesians 4:32, be ye kind one to another, be tender-hearted, forgive one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us, given us. You know, Rahab, when those spies from Israel, when they came to Jericho, she was kind to them. She hid them in the rafters of her house. And she sowed kindness, and, you know, she reaped kindness. Because she was kind, her life was spared, her life was saved. Number 3, also in the same verse, also in verse 4, it says, love envies not. Love envieth not. Love envies not. Envy is you desire something. You want something that somebody else has. Wanting to be what others are, or to have what someone else has. And envy destroys relationships. This is one of the negative things about love. Love is not envious. It envies not. And envy, where there's envy, it brings mistrust, betrayal. You know, don't desire what others have. And don't compare yourself with others, because God's created us all differently. And the focus of an envious heart, itself. When Cain had envy, Cain's envy, it led to murder. And if you are envious of someone, it can be very subtle. We think we're not, but sometimes there's traces of envy in our hearts. And, you know, pray for that person. If there's envy towards someone, a and you know it's there, pray for that person. Ask God to bless them, to encourage them, and believe God to root that out of our hearts. Number four, still in the same verse, another one about love is not. Well, it says in the King James, it's got, vaunteth not itself. Well, basically, it's saying, number four, love does not boast. Love does not boast. Doesn't brag. You know, some people are always boasting, bragging of all everything they've done and constantly talking about themselves in a conceited way. But agape love is not like that. Agape love is not taken up with self. We don't want to be those who are constantly boasting. And when people boast, it ignores the fact that all the blessings and good gifts, they're not of ourselves. Nothing's of ourselves. Everything comes from God. Talk about the good deeds and the good qualities of others. Boast about Jesus. Boast about even the grace of God in others. Also in the same verse, it says, love is not puffed up. In other words, it's not proud. Number five, love is not proud. It's not puffed up. You know, a proud person, you know, big heads, they has an inflated sense of self. And, you know, some people, they live as if it's only their opinion that matters, only their taste, their choice, their opinion that matters. And God hates pride. He hates pride. Love is not proud. Seven things does the Lord hate. And the first one is a proud look. Proverbs 6:17. A proud look. A proud look. Pride destroys relationships and leads to a lack of humility and leads to wrong behavior towards others. King Nebuchadnezzar was full of pride. My kingdom, what he had done, his riches, his wealth, his city. And God had to reduce him to act like an animal for 7 years till he would give the glory to God. Number six, next verse. Love is not rude. Love is not rude. Verse five. King James puts it, it does not behave itself unseemly. Love, it's not rude. It has good manners. It has respect for others. You know, a lack of consideration for feelings or the needs of others is the beginning of, you know, being disrespectful behavior, offensive behavior. Being rude hurts relationships. Being rude just causes hurt, anger, and it can cause just disconnect from others instead of a bonding with others. The next one that's mentioned there, love does not insist on its own way. It does not insist in its own way. Seeketh not her own. Seeketh not her own. In other words, God's love, agape love, is not self-seeking. It's concerned more for the needs of others than number one. Than yourself. It does not insist on its own way, does not fight for its own way. It's looking at, you know, some people are just always looking out for number one or being wrapped up in one's own concerns. And where there's selfishness, that's going to destroy relationships and loving one another. Because we become incapable of seeking others' needs and desires. And that's what the Bible says. That's what Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 2. In the last days, people will be lovers of themselves. They won't love God and others. They're lovers of themselves. and seek for opportunities, you know, of doing good. Seek, look for opportunities of doing good for others. You know, these qualities we're looking at, I mean, we don't arrive at them just overnight. There's a process. They're things that develop, they grow in our life. Unfortunately, you can't just someone to lay hands on you and say, I impart to you love, receive it now in Jesus' name. I wish it was that easy. But it's not. And some of these things, they take years to grow and develop. And love is a fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, first one that's mentioned, is love. Love is, God is love. And so these attributes of love, these qualities of love, God is wanting to develop and to grow in each of our lives. And we should pray often. Lord, develop your love in my life. And as we read the scriptures, as we meditate on the word of God, something is happening within. We are being changed. And love is growing in our hearts. That's another key. And then another key to seeing these attributes of love develop and grow is, you know, through the tests God puts us through. God puts each one of us through different tests, different trials, to see what's going to come out and to test us. And so that we can, and if we pass the tests, you know, we're growing in love. We're growing in these different aspects of love. And so, you know, we need to pray, Lord, increase. Let your love abound in my life. And these different qualities we're looking at, that they would grow, that they would develop, that we would not just be, you know, concerned about self, but we're concerned about loving God and about loving one another and caring for one another. Love does not insist on its own way. And the next one, verse 5, love is not easily provoked. In other words, it does not get angry quick. It doesn't have a short fuse. You know, some people, the littlest thing, they're off in a rage. Easily offended, easily hurt. But love is not easily provoked, not easily angered. It is not irritable. It is not super sensitive or easily hurt. You know, wrong anger causes fear, resentment, withdrawal, and again, withdrawal from relationships. And then the next one, number 9, love keeps no record of wrong. In other words, love thinks no evil. Also in verse 5, thinks no evil, keeps no record of wrong. You know, sometimes people just keep a record of what other people have done to them and maybe wrong things people have done to them. They think about that all the time. And they often remind people of their failures of the past. But no, love forgives. Love forgives and love forgets. Jesus, you know, took God's record. God had, God's record about all of our sins since the time when we first, well, since we were born. There was a record of all our sins. Jesus took that record and he paid the price. He paid the debt. He paid it for us. He gave his life for us. And our sins are buried in the deepest sea. As far as the east is from the west, God has removed our transgressions from us. And the Lord doesn't keep a record of all our wrongs. And we should not keep a record of the wrongs of others, but forgive them and forget. And keep a record of the good things that people do and speak about them. Love does not dwell on past evil. It does not dwell on past evil. You know, think of Joseph, all the evil his brothers did to him. And they hurt him, terrible hurts, falsely accused, you know, rejected by his own family. I mean, terrible, terrible things they did. But not a trace of thinking about these and making a list of all those things. No, no record of wrong. He forgives. And he calls his first name son Manasseh. Lord, cause me to forget all those things. Number six, rejoices not in iniquity. In other words, love does not rejoice in wrongdoing. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing. It doesn't rejoice in iniquity. Love does not delight when things don't go well for others. Love does not gloat over the wickedness of others. And if people's hearts are filled with resentment and anger and hatred, then they often wish evil for others. You know, those officers of King Darius, they wanted evil for Daniel, and they accused him, and he was ended up being thrown to the lion's den. Never wish evil for others. Of course, God wonderfully rescued him. All right, verse 6. Love rejoices with the truth. Love is glad when truth prevails. Truth frees us to deal with each other in a right way, in a compassionate, in a kind way. It allows us to see ourselves the way God sees us. And, you know, truth is important. Some people think, well, you know, truth does not matter. But yes, truth is vitally important. Truth and right teaching. It will free us. It will break bondages. But error will not. So love rejoices when truth prevails. And then love bears all things. It bears all things. It defends and holds people up. And when people open their heart to us, we must protect them. Love bears up under anything, under everything that comes. It bears all things. It believes all things. Love believes the best in people. Love is not sufficient. In the Amplified Bible, it says, love is ever ready to believe the best of every person. To believe the best of every person. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I was called on jury duty at the Elmira Court. And I was on the jury there. And the judge reminded us. He says, you know, the defendant, he's innocent. He's innocent until he's proved guilty. And there was not enough evidence to sentence him, and the unanimous verdict of all the jury was that the defendant he was innocent. And you know, love believes the best in people, not the worst in people. Love hopes for all things. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances. It doesn't give up on people. It always hopes. It never gives up on people. We will make mistakes. There'll be times when we maybe hurt others or get hurt. But because we can trust in God's faithfulness, we can hope that the Holy Spirit, there is hope, the Holy Spirit, He'll intervene. He'll help us. He'll guide us. And number 15, the last one of these beautiful qualities of love. Love endures all things. It endures all things. It has unlimited endurance. You know, some people say, well, I'm not going to put up with that. Da da da. Love endures all things. All things. Love will love and keep on loving, even in the face of unreturned love. And you know, despite, you know, our faithfulness, rebellion, and so on, God continues. He continues to love us. And of course, His love is shown by His own Son, you know, giving His life for us. Love never fails. Never fails. Prophecies fail. Faith fails. Knowledge fails. Love never fails. Father, we thank you again for your word. Lord, we thank you. Lord, you love the world so much. You gave your life for us. And Lord, we pray together this morning. Lord, we pray. Lord, this church would be known as a church of love. Lord, that the agape love of God would increase in this church. That the agape love of God would grow, would abound, would increase mightily. That we would truly not only love you, Lord Jesus, not only love you, Heavenly Father, not only love you, Holy Spirit, but we would abound in love one towards another. Lord, seal these truths in our hearts. But Lord, not just that. Lord, work them out. Develop them further in each one of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.